On today's episode of Bet, Bath & Beyond, Andy and Ian discuss Tom versus Time. We go over some NFL trades. We talk about freezing yourself to live forever. And we wrap the episode with a new theme song. Stick around.
3, 2, 1, go. I am Ian Peacock.
And I am Andy Heidemann. And I hate sports betting.
No matter what you say, I'm betting $100 on it tonight.
Welcome to Bet, Bath, and Beyond.
Brought to you by B3T Sports.
.com, baby. .com.
How's it going? Happy Monday.
Pretty good. Happy Monday, Andrew. Well, I feel like
it'll be Tuesday for all those people out there.
Fuck, you're right. Monday night. Happy Monday night to Andy. Happy Tuesday morning to the rest of you. Okay? This is Super Bowl week. It's officially Super Bowl 55 week. Do you know what that means, Andy?
What does that mean?
It means we're going to make some money because
it does mean we're going to make some money.
We have a guaranteed lock of a bet. This is a sports betting podcast. I know we go off the rails sometimes, but let's get down to the foundation of this podcast. We both have a future bet that we made. I did, and I let you buy into the future bet.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
But we had a future bet at plus 700 odds for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl this year. I made the bet accidentally last year. So it actually, for some miracle, paid off, which means I'm hedging my money. I'm hedging my bets. I officially did it, Andrew. Actually, we should talk about what you're doing because you haven't, I don't even think you've made the hedge bet yet.
I haven't yet. And the reason being is I'm waiting to see if the odds for the Bucks get better. And they're not. No, they're hovering between. Plus 140, I think it's gone anywhere between plus 140 to plus 155. It has not gotten any. 155 is the best I've seen it at so far.
Hold the fucking line. Hold the line. The odds will shoot up. We'll short squeeze DraftKings. And if we don't bet, if everyone doesn't bet, then the odds will have to favor the Chiefs because everyone's betting on the Chiefs and no one's betting on the Bucks. Short squeeze it. We get the Bucks odds boosted to the moon. You get what I'm saying?
See, I see what you're saying, but I'm not going to do that. So I used a hedging calculator just to kind of see what my max value would be. And I think my max value at its current odds is I bet like $800 and then I'll walk away with $500 guaranteed. I don't really care about making guaranteed money though. I want $1,400, which is what I'm set up to win with the Chiefs winning. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to take $200 and put it on the Bucks just to come out with something. Okay. And then I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that the Chiefs get the coin toss and then they go down and score right away. And I'm going to live bet the shit out of the Bucks.
Oh my God, Andrew.
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh my God. Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. You bring up an interesting point because live betting, I've already placed in my hedge bet. I got in on the Bucks at plus 145, okay? And I think I'm guaranteed to make $500 either way. So if the Bucks win, I win 500 and I save myself a trip to Iowa because
which is the biggest prize.
But if the Chiefs win, I win like $3,000. So, which is worth a trip to Iowa, I will say that. But
yeah, I have nothing to do with that, but whatever.
You're supposed to drive and visit me in Chicago, not the other way around.
I already came and visited you in Chicago,
and I came and visited
at
you
at the castle. That's true. We played golf.
So as of right now, we're both even. We both visited each other
one to one
since I've moved to Chicago. So now it's your turn.
The twins haven't visited you not one time.
The twins are dead.
And they won't hear this. So.
The twins are dead to me. No one even knows who the twins are. I'm not going to talk about them. They're just two Greek assholes to me at this point.
But anyway, yeah, what I think I'm going to do is no matter here's what happens at the beginning of the game. If the Bucks get the coin toss and go down and score immediately, I don't think the odds shift that much into the Bucks or into a live bet for the Chiefs. But if the Chiefs go down and score right away, I think that you might be able to get the Bucks at plus 220, plus 250, something like that. Which again is not a huge jump from plus 145, but I think if you're live betting and you're going to drop a decent chunk of money, I think that might be your play. That might be your hope.
Maybe I'll parlay it
with the coin toss.
Maybe. Okay, so we will go over all the props, all the Super Bowl props, because there's a lot of them, and it's always fun to do the Super Bowl props. The coin toss, the national anthem, you know, Super Bowl halftime show. We'll go through all of that on Friday. Friday's episode, the episode before the Super Bowl, we'll go into depth. We'll have a huge prop corner segment on the Super Bowl. But I'm actually looking at, I just want to preview the line real quick. The line is -3 Chiefs, so it really hasn't moved in the week since I last looked at it, which was last Monday. The Bucks are plus 143. The over-under is 56.5.
Oh, my God, I'm about to make so much money.
I mean,
There's a prop bet I'm looking at right now.
You're going to tease prop corner, huh? You're going to tease prop corner?
I just got to say this right now. Plus 1,600, any quarterback to record 500 or more total passing yards. It's only ever happened once. And it was Tom Brady against the Eagles.
I'd do it. 100%. He lost. He lost that game.
He did lose that game, which means he's probably going to lose this game, which means he's going to throw for 500 yards.
Okay. Do you think, let's talk real quick, because I don't think we've really gone into this. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
I really think, obviously I have money on both ends. I'm guaranteed to win. I really think the Bucks are going to win.
I don't think it would be, if the Bucks win, I wouldn't be like, this is the craziest thing in the history. It's not like when the Eagles beat like the Patriots, right? Or it's not like when the Giants beat the Patriots. It's not like that, right?
I love how two of the examples you just gave were against Tom Brady. It just shows how dominating force he is in the past two decades of football, that all of our recent memories in Super Bowl history up until this point for us is pretty much Tom Brady.
Just all Tom. It's funny that there is a TikTok meme going around. I don't know what the audio is from, but this dude's like, why is it hot in this goddamn room? And then he's like, is that the Grim Reaper? And it's going around. And I saw an NFL one where it's Tom Brady, like, why is it hot in this damn room? And then it's the Chiefs suiting up Eli Manning in the third quarter. I don't know. I just think it's so funny, that meme with Eli Manning is his kryptonite. He just can't fucking, and Eli is out. He's done. He never has to do it again.
Two Super Bowls, baby. Two Super Bowls. Eli Manning, everyone.
But back to what you were saying, though, I think that the Bucks could win it, and I wouldn't be super surprised. But track record, I mean, you got Pat Mahomes. He's the young gun. Stephen A. Smith on his show like last week said that if Patrick Mahomes doesn't beat Tom Brady and never gets a chance to play Tom Brady in a Super Bowl again, that it's going to be a long time before people look at Mahomes and go, you're the GOAT. Because I think if Mahomes continues this trajectory and beats Brady here and then Brady eventually retires, people go, yeah, he beat Tom Brady. But if he never beats him in the Super Bowl, Pat could still 100% be looked at as the greatest of all time if he maintains this horse. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
So if Patrick Mahomes beats Brady this Sunday, he would have beaten a 44-year-old quarterback, okay? At the absolute end of his career. And I'm not saying Tom Brady's going to retire after this season. I hope he doesn't. And I think I saw something.
There's news on that.
Yeah. I saw something that he is going to heavily consider playing football after the age of 45, right?
Which is insanity.
I love it. It's Tom versus time, and Tom's winning, and yeah. I fucking love it. So he's giving us all. Winning. He's literally our mascot against the unmistakable, undenying force of time, which we're all battling. If you want to get philosophical, it's super funny about it.
Oh, it's super funny because I mean he's winning right now, but he'll never win. No one ever wins.
No, you can't. Well, Andrew, that's not true.
Unless you're Walt Disney.
No, exactly. Cryogenics has come a long way, okay? Alcor Labs, they're based out of Phoenix, Arizona, okay? They will freeze your body when you die. And I think, you know, obviously the best way that you want to freeze your body is right after you die. So it's almost like you die and then you're immediately frozen. Honestly, if I had a guaranteed, I mean, I'm talking about 100% chance that if I went to Alcor and they froze me while I was alive and I could guarantee that I would wake up in the future, I would do it today. 100%. There's no question about it. If I can get my body frozen today, which would be, in fact, I guess, killing me or hibernating me, as we in the cryogenics world use, I would take it. I would take it today. 100%. But I need 100% guarantee.
Why would you do that when you could just freeze your feet?
That was good. Well, speaking of Antonio Brown, he's going to be back for the Super Bowl. And I want to see him win a ring. I want to see that crazy son of a bitch.
I
want to see him.
Well, okay. I asked this question 2 weeks ago to not just you, but other people as well. You know, they both Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin are free agents after this year. And I said, who do you keep if you are the Bucks? And everyone said Chris Godwin. But to me, the way Antonio Brown is playing shows me that he has still got it. He's the number three option. If he was the two option, I mean, he'd probably be more consistently just better anyway. And Chris Godwin's going to cost you a fuck ton of money. You already have Mike Evans, like, wrapped up. Not that Antonio Brown won't cost you, but because of what he has done in the past, you're going to get a deal on Antonio Brown.
True.
Like, I don't see how, like, that's not more of a conversation leading
into
these,
like,
off-season talks.
I'm sure it is behind closed doors, and I'm sure Bruce Arians and whoever the GM is for the Bucks and Tom Brady, I'm sure they've talked about it. But the thing is with AB is he fucking stable? Is he stable? Because, I mean, he hasn't played a full season in 3-4 years, you know? And this season wasn't even a full season. This season wasn't a full season, and he didn't play a full season last year.
Not 3 years. The year before that... I think he missed two games. I mean, when you say full season, I mean, there are lots of people who don't play full seasons.
I'm talking about full seasons because of his conduct, not because of he got hurt.
I mean, I think the year before that, the only reason he didn't play the one game was he just personally sat out. He said, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, that's an attitude thing. I agree with you, but
yeah. So, I mean, Godwin's much younger. So you also have to look his age because
you're in a unique position. Yeah, but you're in a unique position as the Bucks because, yeah, Godwin's younger and you want to set your team up in general for long-term success, but you've got, let's say, a max after this year, 3 more years with Tom Brady, right? Like, you're not going to sign a guy to a 6-year deal if you can get a cheaper 3-year deal with Antonio Brown, you might be like, sure. I mean, like, that's going to make us a better team for the 3 years. I mean, you got your staples. You got Mike Evans. I don't know what Gronk's contract looks like. Gronk said he wants to come back next year. I'm sure Brady would love for him to come back, but
he has been hurt and he's had so many injuries in his career. So I would love for him to come back, and I'm sure he would too. I guess it just depends on one. He's attached the hip to Tom Brady. So if Tom doesn't come back, Gronk wouldn't come back. And two, it just depends on how his body is taking these hits, these NFL games.
Yeah. Did you hear how Gronk got away with not running sprints in online practices this year for camps?
No, I didn't even know they had to do sprints on online practices.
Part of his thing was he had to do sprints and they had to record themselves. But one thing that Gronk did was he did sprints in different shirts and then he would then he wouldn't do them on certain days. He would just save them up and send them in so he would have some days off.
That's hilarious. I love that. I love that so
much.
Dude,
I do too.
Work smarter, not harder. Yeah. Well, that's like, I mean, now that people are taking classes on Zoom, they're like, you know, having cardboard cutouts or like fucking like they're frozen and shit and like putting like images and stuff. I love the little like ways to get out of. I mean, it's so easy to do.
People
on
are
Zoom.
Smart.
So easy to do on Zoom. Back in my day, we actually had to go to sprints in person. Back in my day, we actually had to go to a lecture hall. We actually had to go to a lecture hall in person.
God. Now PE's
online. These kids are spoiled.
Okay. What do you want to talk about next?
Hold on. Andrew, I got kind of on a tangent with the whole cryogenics, Alcor, okay? Which I definitely recommend people look into if they want to look at living forever. But to go back to the Mahomes-Brady conversation, just so I can give my answer, and then we can move on. And I think we should talk about the Matthew Stafford trade.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's where I want to head.
Well, let me... I'll get there, Andrew. I'll get there.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, go.
Just
go
for it. Cool your jets.
Loud.
Mahomes needs to win at least 4 Super Bowls to be compared to Tom Brady. I think so. I really do.
4 more or 4 total?
4 total. I think 4, because Tom Brady has 6, and they're going to face, and I think this is going to help Patrick Mahomes' career more than, well, I don't know. Because Brady's already the GOAT, right? So if Brady wins,
yeah, Brady has nothing to lose.
He's got nothing to lose, exactly. He'll get 7. He would have beaten a Mahomes in his prime, and it just would solidify Tom Brady that much more. If Mahomes beats Brady, well, then he beat Tom Brady at the end of his career when he was 43, and it's even a fucking miracle that Tom Brady was able to play like he has in the age that he is. So right. I think Mahomes, if he beats Tom Brady, which is great, that would give him 2 Super Bowls, he would need 2 more to really start that conversation. Because like we talk about with LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and I'm still a Jordan guy, but I think once LeBron finally got 3 rings, you know, I think that we were able to have that conversation more. Or wait, does LeBron have 4?
Yeah, LeBron's got 4.
Okay, so 4. So when he got his 4th one, I think that was
4 for 9.
Right. I think the 4th ring by LeBron really helped his case more than 3, because 3 is half with Jordan, right? But then when you start talking about 4, then all of a sudden you're saying, okay, well, he played with different teams. He took teams kicking and screaming to the finals. He won a ring with Cleveland, not just with the Heat, not just with the Lakers.
Right.
I think 4 is very, I think that's important.
That is something that I didn't think about that. LeBron has a championship with 3 separate teams.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's impressive. It's kind of cool talking about this because I'm a LeBron guy. I think LeBron's the best basketball player to ever do it. A lot of people yell at me. They say Jordan. I understand the argument. But we're on the flip side now. We're watching Tom Brady was like the quarterback when we were growing up, when we were kids. He is the GOAT. And we're watching Patrick Mahomes be the LeBron to Brady's Jordan. And I'm like, there's no way that anyone could ever touch Tom Brady, right? But as we watch Mahomes play, we're going to watch it probably, you know, barring injury and health and all that kind of shit. And I'm curious where I'm going to lean if he's got 4 rings in the next 7 years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be very LeBron-esque, and Tom Brady would have been very Michael Jordan-esque of 6 rings for both of them. And then you have the newcomer, Mahomes. If he starts getting 4 rings and he's, you know, still like in his late 20s, then all of a sudden we're like, holy shit, this guy might be legit.
If Mahomes gets 4 rings, let's say he gets 4 rings in the next 4 years, but it's Tom and Pat in every single Super Bowl.
That would be nuts. That would be fucking insane. I would love that so much.
It'd be an awesome story. But like, does that hurt or help Tom?
It helps Tom. The fact that he...
I mean, making it is always better than...
Yeah, well, the fact that we're talking about that he's played in the league for 20 years and he's gone to Super Bowl for half of those years, 50%. 50% Super Bowl. That is something we are tossing out about his legacy. The more Super Bowls Tom Brady gets to, even if he doesn't win them, it just is that much more, like, that's just crazy. That solidifies his greatness. He's got fucking 6 rings. 6 fucking rings. Come on.
He could have 7. Dude, you know he's preparing so hard for this game.
I know. I hope he wins. I really do. I really hope he wins.
I would be happy if he won. I really would be happy. Like, cuz I'm, you know me, I'm a huge Tom Brady fan.
Huge. Okay. Let's talk about Matthew Stafford, because over the weekend, some news broke, and I'm going to let you take the floor on this. I'm going to let you lead us through this because you're the Stafford guy. I don't think he's that great. I took a bet with you before the season started and won, I might add, but
you did win.
I truly believe the Rams are not going to do anything with Stafford. I don't think they do anything with Stafford.
First and foremost, we'll talk about the trade. Stafford was traded from the Lions to the Rams. They get Matthew Stafford. They send Jared Goff to the Lions.
For
they
like 100 picks. And
they send a first-round pick. They send a first-round pick this year and a first-round pick next year. They send 2 seconds, and I think they send a conditional third.
And Jared Goff. And the contract. And Jared Goff. And the contract.
That is the big one. That is a big one because Jared Goff is owed like $30 million or something like that, like next year. Not this year, but next year. Now, I think that part of that is conditional in the sense that if they just cut him, they don't have to pay it, which is probably what they'll do. They'll probably draft somebody.
I don't think
with
so.
One of those picks.
I don't think so. I think Jared Goff is going to stay with the Lions.
If he plays well, there's a chance, but I just don't. They're rebuilding anyway. I think they're going to use one of their high draft picks to.
I kind of have a newfound respect for Jared Goff ever since he broke his thumb and came back and, you know, they beat the Seahawks. He beat the Seahawks with a broken fucking thumb.
Here's what I'll say about Jared Goff in my personal opinion. He had a great college career. He had kind of a rough freshman year of the NFL rookie year.
Where did he go to college?
He went to... Shit, I remember. I don't remember where I went to college. The reason I say
sorry,
that
I put you on the spot. I thought when you said he had a great college career, I actually thought you knew.
Jared Goff was the number one pick. Carson Wentz was the second overall pick that year in the draft. I know Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State University, and I always thought that Wentz should have went first. I think that looking back, they wish they would have grabbed Wentz first, at least like
no.
Based no, on production no. for their best years. But the main point here is that Jared Goff is a tough guy, and he plays through injury a lot, and I've seen him take a lot of hits. But he's always been surrounded by talent and a good coach. I don't think that he is bad, but I think that he is definitely a system QB. I hate that term. I don't know. There's got to be a better term. He's definitely a guy who, if you get him the right stuff, he could probably ball. But you're never going to win the game off of Jared Goff. Now, Stafford is the opposite way. Like, I mean, Stafford has won lots of games. He has like he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league in fourth quarter comebacks since entering the league. And he's been on bad team year after year after year. He's had horrible coaching. It's undeniable that Matthew Stafford is an upgrade from Jared Goff, is it not?
It is an upgrade. I don't know how big of an upgrade, but it's an upgrade. Sure. I'll give you that. It's an upgrade. I would rather have Matthew Stafford on my team than Jared Goff.
And he's 32. Maybe he's 33. He's not older than 33.
How is he that young?
He entered the league when he was like 21. He's like Juju.
Dude, and he's just been playing for a decade, and he's still halfway over, I guess.
Now, that is part of the good news for the Rams, because the Rams... I think the Rams made the right move. If they couldn't get Deshaun Watson, they needed Stafford because there's not another QB out there that's available. And they're in win-now mode with their cap space. They've got Donald. They have Ramsey. They have a young running back, which is the perfect thing you need, a young running back in Akers. Their offensive line, I'm very nervous. They've got Andrew Whitworth, that left tackle, who's very, very good, but he's also old as shit. So if he's not back this year, that's going to be rough for that offensive line, although it'll be nothing new for Stafford. I like this move a lot. I think that contract freeing up that cap space with Goff is the big cherry on top that makes me think this isn't as bad as some people think.
It's just funny because I'm pretty sure the Rams don't have a first round pick for like the next 7 years. McVay treats it like Monopoly money. He treats first round picks like fucking like they don't exist. Monopoly money. They spent a shit ton for Jalen Ramsey. Now they have Stafford. I genuinely, you can look this up, you know, those of you listening. I genuinely don't think the Rams have a first round pick in the next 7 years, which maybe it doesn't matter when you have one of the best cornerbacks in the league and a top tier quarterback like Stafford, not top five.
And the best defensive tackle in the league.
Not top five quarterback, but he's a top tier. Top 10. I'll put Stafford in top 10.
Yeah, he's 100% top 10.
But he's not top five. Definitely not top five.
And here's the other part that I Maybe McVay is playing checkers. I mean, he has done very well for the Rams, regardless of unless he has three losing seasons in a row the next 3 years, which he probably won't. Not with that team. I mean, there's no possible way, right? They might have like a okay season, maybe go 8-8 or 7-9 at the worst. But he's going to get a job somewhere else because he's a good coach and he's young as hell. So who cares if he doesn't have the draft picks? I think his mentality is going to be, unless they give him a massive contract extension when the time comes, he's going to roll the dice on another team with better draft picks, maybe a better scenario, and he's going to be out of there. And I think that's smart.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with his strategy. I'm just saying he doesn't care about first round draft picks.
Sure.
But that being said, let's look at the fucking key players he has on his team. He has now Stafford. He has Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Akers. I mean, that's a pretty good offense, right?
Higbee. They're tight end.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't put him up there. But
he's not like, I mean, I'm just saying that he's serviceable. There are a lot of people, like there are some tight ends in the league not serviceable.
For sure. And then you got Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best cornerback in the league. And then you have, you know, Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the league. I think we can all agree. So,
yeah,
look, he's got the pieces, and they usually make the playoffs every year. They made it to a Super Bowl against Tom Brady. Didn't win, put up 3 points. Look, I'm not saying that they're not a good team. I'm not saying they're a force to be reckoned with. I think they'll make the playoffs next year. And you know what? Stafford might even get his first playoff win in his entire career because he's 0-3.
If Stafford wins MVP, what can I get you to do?
Oh, boy. You could get me to do a lot of things. You could get me to do a lot of things.
we'll think about it. We'll think about it.
You could take a lot of my money. I'll tell you that. Because if you wanted to do a little Stafford MVP prop bet, I would 100% do it. Not right now. We'll wait until the 2021 season is approaching.
See what the odds actually are.
Yeah, we can see what it is. And I'll for sure do a top five quarterback in those three categories like we did earlier before the season started. Because, hey, now, I mean, if you thought he could do it with the Lions, that you would be crazy not to take that bet when he's on the Rams, right, with the weapons he has.
The other thing that's interesting about the trade here is that Kenny Galladay has not signed with the Lions. He is a free agent. And that is going to be, just for fantasy and for the whole franchise's purpose of being an actual football team, they're not going to have a wide receiver. I mean, they'll have Marvin Jones, who is okay. He's good. He's not like a world beater, not anymore. He's kind of old now. Right. And I just think that they won't. I mean, they're going to be full rebuild. And talk about wasting the talent. Because young running backs, they go fast. It's very hard to get a running back like Frank Gore or AP who are still kicking today. Like, Swift is good. He dropped a couple balls this year. But if he can shore that up, I think he'd be a very good asset. They're not going to have anything around him. You're going to have Jared Goff, $30 million in cap debt, and no wide receivers. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think Goff will stay in Detroit. I think he's got a future there. Put that on the record.
Expensive though.
Put that on the record. I'm looking at some of the headlines for the Super Bowl. Not to like bring us back to the Super Bowl, but did you know, and I didn't know this, so that's why I'm bringing it up, that DeMarcus Robinson on the Chiefs is
on the list.
Yeah, he's on the COVID list.
Yeah, it was those were both him and an offensive tackle, I want to say, for the Chiefs are on a COVID list. That was proximity. That wasn't anything to do with them testing positive. So I think they are on it for the proximity. They're going to be tested every day. I think everyone for the Super Bowl is being tested every day. And
what are they going to do if I mean, they'd have to postpone it, right? So, like, let's say Saturday, Mahomes and or Brady get tested positive. And there have been a lot of cases, Dez Bryant being one of them for the Ravens, who have been falsely tested positive. Okay. So that happens. So it's not out of the realm of question.
If there's an outbreak, they'll have to postpone it.
But what if there's not even an outbreak? What if there's like a false positive, which has happened before in this league this season?
It depends when it's found. But I mean, they're not going to, there's no way they postpone. First of all, people would freak out. Like, people would be like, you made the Ravens play. You made the, you know, this other team. People would freak out.
It's the Super Bowl, though. It's the Super Bowl. But
think about, there's also logistics there, though, too, right?
I guess.
There are seats sold. Airtime is sold.
The Weeknd is playing.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously.
Fucking halftime.
There's a lot of shit. Can we talk about that
for a quick? Like, sure. Maybe it'll be good. I'm not excited for the fucking Weeknd. For the fucking Weeknd to play.
When was the last Super Bowl halftime show that you were excited for?
Oh, okay. First off, Lady Gaga. Super Bowl.
Different pages.
That was fucking tight. Katy Perry, Left Shark. Remember Left Shark?
Nope. JT was the best.
Dude, we were like 10.
Okay. JT actually did it. No, he did it again recently.
Okay. Yes. But everyone knows, if you're talking about a Justin Timberlake Super Bowl performance, everyone knows which one I'm talking about. And it's the one where he grabs and shows Michael Jackson's sister's breasts to everyone, who I don't think is that attractive because she looks just like Michael Jackson. Like, her face looks like Michael Jackson. She has, they're siblings. Yeah, they're siblings. So
yeah.
I'm not blaming her for that, but like, I don't.
Sounds kind of like you're blaming.
I don't want to see her breasts. I mean, when I was 10,
not
yes.
anymore.
Well, when I was 10, I'll take what I can get.
I'll take whatever I can get. Yeah,
I'll look at any breasts, but.
Super Bowl halftime shows, whatever. I don't watch them anyway. Do you know what I'm looking at when the halftime show is going on?
Your sports book to look at what your next bet for the second half's going to be.
Well, nowadays it is, but before that, I was always looking at stats. I was always looking up stats and looking at who's got what and all that kind of shit.
Fucking nerd. Nerd.
Okay, so by the way, while we're talking about trades, from the Texans, it is leaked that they're looking for a first round pick, obviously, and they're looking for 2 first round picks and 2 seconds.
Well, that's basically what the Rams gave for Stafford, so yeah, I'm sure they'll get that for.
But they also said that they want young defensive pieces.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. The Chicago Bears are going to trade Khalil Mack and and what's his nuts, and they're going to, you know, send him down to Houston.
That would be super interesting, actually.
I'm serious. I mean, think of the Ravens definitely have a young defensive team, but we don't need a fucking Deshaun.
Panthers have a really young defensive team, although I don't
think.
I mean, Jeremy Chin and Brian Burns, I think, are both really good. I think Derek Brown's good too, but I don't want to get rid of Derek Brown because he's a fucking stud in the middle. I think, like, I'd be scared as a Panthers fan in general. I would be scared to do that just because I love Deshaun, but there's a point where you're giving up too much just in general. It's not that he's not worth it. It's just that we're already rebuilding. But then I also think that we got a brand new coach, we got a brand new owner, and we got a brand new head of staff. So if we're going to get a new QB, I mean, if we're already starting fresh, I mean, fuck it. QBs last until they're 45 now?
Well,
sure.
Well, a very, very special breed of quarterback lasts until they're 45. In fact, actually, let me rephrase that. Just one quarterback lasts until he's 45, and his name's Tom Brady. So maybe if you put Deshaun Watson down on the TB12 diet and told him not to take unnecessary hits sometimes when he runs out of the pocket, then yeah, maybe he could last into his 40s.
Let's just say 38. I mean, he's still only 26, maybe, I think.
Is he that
25?
Young?
Deshaun's super young. I mean, actually, let me look it up.
Well, yeah, he's in the same draft class as Mahomes and Trubisky.
Trubisky.
To go back to the Bears, it just makes sense, right? Because they know Trubisky's not the guy. They have a young defensive-minded team.
There are pressers that make it sound like they might keep him, though. I know.
Look, I hope they keep Nagy, and I hope they keep Trubisky, and I hope that the Bears fans, I love this city that I'm in. I love Chicago. Bears fans are fools because they get so complicit being average. 8-8. They're like, oh, yeah. And then they go and they win a couple games. They're like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. Tell us we're not going to the Super Bowl. Why not us? Because you guys don't have the balls to fire Matt Nagy and let go of Mitch Trubisky. You don't have the balls to take the actual necessary moves to actually get a quarterback that you had a chance to draft 3 or 4 years ago, and you decided to trade up for fucking Trubisky.
Hindsight's 2020. I'm aware of that, but the minute the Panthers got rid of Ron Rivera, the Bears should have said goodbye Nagy and picked up Ron Rivera. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Because he's a defensive head coach. They've got terrible. A great defense.
Nagy is not a terrible coach.
Yeah.
Terrible play
call. And maybe he's terrible a good offensive coordinator. Maybe if they get him into an offensive scheme, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing,
isn't it? I
don't know
how to fix that problem.
Isn't that the thing that, like, a lot of these terrible head coaches, like Matt Patricia and your boy Adam Gase, they would do well as a coordinator's position, but they can't make the leap into head coach.
And here's the thing. I don't know if it's necessarily the fact that they were shielded. It's not like, oh, they looked good, but maybe they weren't really good. I think these guys probably are good. But there's also a shield of comfort. You know, they've been doing offensive coordinating or defensive coordinating for the same team for maybe 3 years. And not only will you be getting a promotion and having to do a bunch of different things you never had to do before, but you're also doing it for a new org, for a new boss. You've got, you know what I mean? There's just all, and you're moving. There's a lot of shit that goes into being hired as a head coach in the NFL. And
for sure.
Somebody who hasn't done it before, it's always, there were rumors. We never fucking talked about this. There were rumors, I think a week ago, that the Texans were looking at hiring Josh McCown as their head coach.
Yes, I saw this. How fucking nuclear meltdown. Dude, the Texans are such a trash organization. They are such a trash organization. Like, Bill O'Brien was a fucking moron. I'm glad they got rid of him. But, like, you can't, like, the every move they've done since then, it just is baffling to me. Like, you have one of the best quarterbacks that you've drafted in such a long time. So many other teams would kill to have Deshaun Watson, okay? And they're just treating him like trash. They're saying, yeah, we'll consult you. Doesn't consult him at all. Yeah. We'll look at, you know, coaches like Eric Dieniemy, you know, an offensive-minded, you know, great offensive-minded coordinator from Kansas City who literally plays, you know, coaches greatness in Patrick Mahomes, interviews him, and then they're like, yeah, see ya. Nah, you're not our material. Like, what are the Texans doing? What are they doing? They're clowns.
I have a mind bend for you, all right?
What the fuck is a mind bend?
Just listen to this. This is going to break your mind. Okay. So let's say Deshaun Watson is on the trade block. Everyone knows that he's being offered up his trade and they want some defensive pieces. Do you remember that rookie, that defensive Isaiah Simmons, that he was a linebacker for Clemson? Everyone was like jerking off over him for the draft class last year.
Yes.
Everyone's like, this guy's metrics are crazy. He hasn't really done much this year, but his metrics are still good.
I don't even know where he is.
He's on the Cardinals. Let's say they traded that man and Kyler Murray and a first-round pick for Deshaun Watson. Reunite him with D-Hop.
Wow. Okay, Andrew. Now it's kind of all coming together because I like that. I like that move right there.
I mean, like, now that would probably be too much to give to get – because Kyler is good. I mean, he's shown a lot of really good things.
Look, he's good.
He's not better than Deshaun.
I promise you, he will not be a starting quarterback in 3 years. I was going to say 5.
So many hits.
I want to get more of a hot take. Kyler Murray will not be starting in the NFL in 3 years.
Do you think he just
not
gets
because
too
he's
much
injured.
Or what?
Nope, not because he's injured.
You just don't think he's good?
I don't think he's good enough, no.
I think he's good enough. I think that he needs to take a step, but I mean, he's got 2 more years, in my opinion, to do that because he's still under his rookie deal. So if he doesn't do it in 2 years, then he'll be done. But I know that's a long time from now.
He has the best. Could you imagine Lamar Jackson with the fucking wide receiver talents that Kyler Murray has? I mean, it would be unreal. It would be unreal. Okay. And the fact that, like, Kyler Murray can't even make it to the goddamn playoffs with D-Hop, with fucking Larry Fitzgerald, like, makes no fucking sense. No sense.
Yeah, okay, but I think that team is less of a Kyler problem and more of a Kingsbury problem. I don't think Kingsbury stuff translates to the NFL.
Mr. Good-looking Mr. Ryan Gosling as a head coach.
Just him sitting
you
in
think
his fucking
he's
house
got a,
during the draft.
That just proves, and I've heard a theory about this, beautiful people get jobs that they're unqualified for just because they're beautiful.
Yeah, I would know. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, you would know, wouldn't you? Here's the thing. I think that the air raid. What's that?
No. Keep going. I don't really have anything. But what air raid?
I just think the air raid offense is something that maybe could work. Maybe it needs some more refining. But Murray is a shorter guy. You know, I mean, so you got to work on quick passes.
He's 5'9" with heels.
And short quarterbacks work in the NFL, depending on what you do with them. I mean, Russ, he's a shorter guy. Baker's a shorter guy. I think D-Hop was also hurt a lot of the season, undeniably. I mean, like, because when he was healthy the first 6 weeks, the dude was still an animal. You know what I mean? But he didn't look like that at the end. And it's maybe it was Kyler. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But they're also paying a guy named Kenyon Drake, who only looks kind of okay.
Like, put in Chase Edmonds. You know what I mean? Put in Chase Edmonds. Just start Chase Edmonds. Seriously. I have him on my dynasty fantasy squad. I need him to be my RB1 next season.
And he looks way better.
Looks great.
He does.
He can catch, too.
Dude, here's more nightmare fuel for fantasy owners. Okay, the Chiefs every year have gone and fucking destroyed their backfield by getting a veteran running back. Like, 2 years ago, they went and they got Shady McCoy. They never fucking used him, but they had him, and people had to hold him because it's the Chiefs' goddamn offense, right? Same thing with Le'Veon Bell this year. Yeah, watch next year when they fucking go and grab Todd Gurley, who's clearly washed, and they're going to be like, everyone's going to be like, Todd Gurley on the Chiefs, it's insanity, and then it's not going to fucking matter.
Do you know who they're going to take? You ready for a mind bend? You know who they're going to take?
Oh, who are they going to take?
Mark Ingram.
You know what, though? I said Mark Ingram needs to go to the Bills. I think that's a better spot for him because then they've got a bruiser and they've got a guy who they can at least rely on.
I love Ingram. I loved him on the Ravens.
And he's not hurt because he was a healthy scratch. So, I mean, he's fresh healthy and ready scratch. To go.
Yeah, and he's a hype man, dude. He'll hype your team up. He was Lamar's hype man Big for trust. The whole season. Big trust, baby. Come see me at the bank. Come see me at the bank.
Oh, man. What else dude, we got? That's all the trade news we really have. I'm trying to think if there's anything else trade-wise.
I got something. No. I got something.
Oh, okay.
One of our B3T sports bloggers, Johnny Walks, continues to message us about reading his articles as soon as they're done. I just got a Slack message from Johnny Walks. We love you, Johnny. We hope you're listening. I think he listens to every episode. Great. Listen, great blogger. Great blogger. Puts out more content than I think anyone else on the site does. Okay. But here's the thing. He needs to spell check. He needs to spell check every single one of his articles because he never does. And when he says, hey, I just finished an article, go check it out. I'm always like, I always have to like suggest, Johnny, you didn't use spell check, which is the most basic internet tool of our generation at this point. It's been around forever. I just need you to spell check it first so I can actually like actually pay attention to the topic of the article.
That's actually an interesting question. What is the best internet invention of our time? That's not TikTok.
Social media.
What's a specific one? Do you think Facebook is the biggest, but Facebook. I would never say that Facebook is like
I think so. Facebook, maybe no. I think Facebook. The fact that, you know, whenever I listen to my parents talk about like their lives before social media, the fact that they had like phone books that they had to carry around, the fact that they like literally never. I can tell you. This isn't a good thing sometimes. I can tell you pretty much what every single person that I went to high school with is doing right now with their lives. That's amazing. I actually love that. No, I know I don't want to see them junking up my feed, and I have the ability to hide them if I really don't give a fuck about what they're doing right now. But the fact that I can go and see pretty much everybody that I ever went to high school with, see what they're doing, see where they're living, what their jobs are, sure. If they have kids and stuff, that's fucking amazing. And the fact that like, back when, you know, our parents were our age, they had fucking no idea what people were doing.
They had crank phones.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's black and white TVs. I don't know. But like,
it's up and down both ways on the mountain to get to school. To the little schoolhouse on the hill.
Definitely.
Yeah, if any of our parents are listening to this, you're old.
Definitely 100%. Facebook is my vote.
It's pretty similar. I would just say instant messaging. I think it's crazy that you could just, because think about before, even before like dial up, if you wanted to message, like write somebody, like you had to actually write a letter and like mail it. That's, you know what I mean? That's like, that's nutty. So just texting and instant messaging, I think, is the thing that's so, like, you just talk to anybody. It's very similar to what you were saying. I like that you're like, I could see what's going on, but they just, it opens up possibilities to be like, I could talk to somebody in China and it's does not take me all day.
Yeah, exactly. And to go with your instant messaging thing, I'd throw in Skype, face-to-face, like FaceTime. Yeah, because you can FaceTime and see people's faces and actually like feel like you're hanging out with them. And I'm sure, you know, 20, 30 years from now when our kids are our age and they're like, oh,
going
I can't
to school
believe,
in VR chat.
I can't believe people only had... Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say VR because VR is the future. I own an Oculus Quest 2. It is my most beloved piece of tech hardware that I own. I love it. And I can't wait to just continue following the VR space. As soon as haptic gloves become like a mainstream thing and can like work with the Oculus and aren't like $5,000, I'm going to buy them because I fucking love everything about VR. And I think it's the future. And I'm halfway through Ready Player 2, which is the sequel to Ready Player 1. It's still good. And yeah. I just love VR. I love VR. But you're absolutely right. Our kids are definitely going to be fucking going to school and hanging out with each other all in the VR space.
I think that's everything I've got. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, let me see. We talked about cryogenics, Alcor.
Was that on a list somewhere?
VR, VR chat, Pokemon cards. I scored a couple new. I feel like I haven't talked about Pokemon cards recently on the podcast.
I'm going to do this now.
I scored two big ones. First edition, Drowsy base set. Okay. It should be here tomorrow, actually. Should be here tomorrow. First edition. That means it's the first cards that were available to the U.S., okay, and then the second card I got, which was a steal, I got it last night. I honestly didn't even think I was gonna win. I just put down like, you know, $30 as my top bid, sure, and like walked away. Came back a few hours later, and I realized I'd won. And I was like, holy shit! I know for a fact this card's at least worth $100 right now because I've seen it go. As much as I look at Pokemon cards on eBay, I know what all like I know what retail value is for these cards because, I guess I shouldn't say retail value, but I know what they're going for on these auctions. And it's a Red Cheeks base set Pikachu, Shadowless. Not first edition, but Shadowless, which means it's very close to first edition. And it's Red Cheeks, which all the other cards are Yellow Cheeks, and that's what the main art was. They actually did a misprint, and there's only a very small number of them compared to the overall population of the base set that have Pikachu as Red Cheeks. So it's rarer because it was a misprint. So it's a smaller population. I got one. $30. So
the greatest card of all time.
No, it's not the greatest card of all time. That would be the first edition Charizard holographic base set. That's the greatest card of all time.
Man. Let's see.
Think that's it.
I think that's it. I was trying to decide if there's anything else that we needed, but
we'll see you guys on Friday. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all the props. All the Super Bowl props.
And I'll make it rich.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys.
Grapefruit.
Nope. No grapefruit.
Fire.
Not grapefruit. New Rife Beats Drunk Club. Rife Drunk Beats Club. Can't talk. Rife Drunk Speed Club. Coming right now.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives all comes down to today. Either we heal as a team, or we're gonna crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. we can climb out of hell.
I had a drug problem, you know, for a long time. It wasn't just in music, but I definitely was going through a drug problem.
Regrets, not just like texts I shouldn't send. And I got neighbors, they're more like strangers. We could be friends. I just need a way out of my head. I'll do anything for a way out. In my own way, just feel like living. Ultimate reality. And I was drowning, but now I'm swimming. Too stressful waters to relieve. All the things I do. Spend a little time in the day.
Probably never even tell my